Every day for a decade in the 1960s, a plane would fly over the San Carlos Apache Reservation and spray the land below with a chemical cocktail.
It was a federal program that aimed to wipe out thirsty vegetation along the Gila River to preserve water for the growing city of Phoenix, 90 miles to the southeast.
Now, more than 50 years later, the Environmental Protection Agency has investigators on the ground on the reservation to find out if there are any lingering effects on the Apache people. The story was uncovered by Nigel Duara, who covers the Southwest for the LA Times. The show's Lauren Gilger spoke with him more about this. And Lauren, did the Apaches know what was being sprayed on them at the time?
They didn't. The tribe's government actually signed off on the program and only sent a statement to Duara when he reached out to them to comment for the story. But yes, at the time, all this time, the Apache people were given no answers. No one told them what this chemical compound was or why it was being sprayed. And it turns out it was called Silvex, and it has components similar to Agent Orange, which has been accused of causing serious health problems for soldiers in Vietnam and in other areas around the country.
So have they seen actual serious health problems because of this?
Some think so. So Duara tells the story through Mike Stevens, who was a kid when the spraying was happening. His wife's family lived right on the riverbank where the spraying was most focused, and all of them have since died of various cancers or other diseases. So he wants answers. But Duara said to understand the effect this may have on the reservation today, you have to understand the reservation as it was back then.
His wife, when she was a girl, her family lived the way a lot of folks in the San Carlos Apache Reservation lived, which was subsistence living. They killed game in the hills. They dried fruit that they gathered. So when the spraying program came, it hit everything that was outside. So naturally, if they're drying meat and they're drying berries, it's getting over everything that they consume, in addition to getting on their clothes and getting on their bodies and everything else. They were spraying the river specifically because it had a very thirsty version of plant called a salt cedar.
Sure.
And that would drink up a lot of the water that was supposed to go to Phoenix and then be sold to other places. So part of the program was meant to get rid of that salt cedar. So if you live near the river, as his wife did when she was a girl, you were going to get the most concentrated doses. So cut to the 1980s and 1990s, and of a family of about five people, a mom, an aunt, two sisters, and a grandmother, four of them are dead from maladies from cancer to complications from Parkinson's. And then in August of this past year, Lizette, who's Mike Stevens' wife, she herself died. And so Mike believes that all of these different, whether it's cancer, whether it is but any kind of neurodegenerative disorder, something, it has to do with the Agent Orange, and he feels like he is owed answers.
You also talk about in the story, though, that there were many other sort of pollution issues in this area at the time, in Globe, from mining, and on the reservation nearby. So can you really tell whether or not this might have been caused by that?
You know, it's an interesting question, and it raises a second kind of fascinating point. There were this confluence of pollution factors. There was a smelting plant that would send these clouds of, you know, metallic laden stuff down into the town. There was polluters upstream that got into the water. And there was also nuclear tests in Nevada that there were certain areas of the country that would get the downwind radiation from those tests. What an attorney told me in Globe is that there's probably between $50 million and $100 million worth of settlement lawsuits on the San Carlos Apache Reservation today that no one has claimed, that these folks have no idea that they're due. So they haven't even started the process of collecting on their own downwinders payments,
wow,
much less pursuing some kind of new settlement with an Agent Orange.
Why do you think that is? Is this just a lack of communication with the outside world? Is this nobody tried to tell them that this is something they're owed?
So why is it tough to reach folks out there? Well, it's destitution on a scale that you really only see on Native reservations today.
Mm-hmm.
It is lack of education and sometimes a lack of mobility. I mean, there's no addresses out there. So finding somebody and getting out and talking to somebody is difficult. And the kind of community programs we might envision for something of this nature, let's just say they found lead in the drinking water in your neighborhood or mine. You know, the get out the information process would be quick. There would be stuff posted. There would be information. That infrastructure just is not in place at this point in San Carlos, and certainly wasn't in place when the spraying happened. So to go back and wonder what could have happened or been done, the questions are still valid today. What can be done? How do you reach folks? Because it's a vast place, relatively speaking, for one person in a car, and it's not easily navigated, and people are not exactly running out of their houses to talk to folks either. They're suspicious of strangers and the government and everything else. So all of those factors kind of combine to make it tough.
Okay. So having done a lot of reporting on Native American reservations in the Southwest here, does this surprise you at all the way that it should, I guess?
It does not surprise me that there was a government test program in the way that, it was conducted here, because this happened all over the country. And it certainly doesn't surprise me that the information was never distributed to these people. What does surprise me, I guess, is the scale to which this happened. And it's so brazen. I mean, you can't miss a big, loud plane coming through the valley, dumping orange clouds of stuff on people. So that kind of surprises me that it could just die out with no answers. And I don't know how many people would really care.
Right. And what do you think this says about sort of the larger narrative here about the state of Native Americans in this country?
Certainly, the story of Native Americans here in the Southwest and the story of pollution and environmental degradation are very closely intertwined. Mm-hmm. And so we see it in Utah, in Nevada, in Arizona, New Mexico, certainly, of tribes that believe that this is another form of taking, that it's not a land grab, but it's a resource grab, that it's a grab of a different kind. And then when you you hear this a lot with the Dakota Access protests, that when you do pollute that, it's not coming back for one thing. Mm-hmm. And for another thing, it's their heritage that's being stolen.
That was Nigel DeWara, a reporter for the LA Times, who recently wrote about chemical spraying that happened in the 1960s on the San Carlos Apache Reservation in eastern Arizona. The EPA should have some initial answers for the Apache people in February.
And that's the show's Lauren Gilger. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.